God just put in my heart that these are times we're going to see a great move of God. And the Lord wants to use everybody to win souls. And yet, like I said, I met lots of people. They didn't know how to pray the sinner's prayer. But this guy wanted to get saved. I didn't know what to do. Well, I've written this stuff out for you, a sinner's prayer. Now, you know, many people, you know, other people may have something to do. I care less, but this works. I've prayed this with thousands of people, probably. Well, more than that. There's the Roman road there. You know, just scripture you can share with people to get them saved. We need to get people saved. Is there a better way? Maybe, maybe. But this works. What to say to people after they get saved. That tells you. I got a thing written out. Scriptures you should memorize. I've written them out as well. So take time, memorize those scriptures. Then become part of it. So you can just talk to somebody and say, so it just flows out of you. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It just becomes natural. People want something that's real. And the word has power. Amen. You know, I shared this morning about a guy who got a hold of me several months ago now. I think it was. My wife knows, she keeps track of stuff better than me. But he was a guy that I had witnessed to in 1978-79. Can you believe that? And those in England. He tracked me down. God bless him. And and thanked me for sharing. He finally got saved. Well, how many years ago was that? 41 years ago. But the word stayed there. And he couldn't get rid of it. And finally he yielded to it and submitted to it. God's a good God. You know, the Lord really wants us to see with his vision. So when things happen in this world and things happen to us, we don't see as the world sees, but we see as God sees. Sometimes we go through stuff and God wants to see beyond. That's not the problems we have aren't the beginning and the end. It's just, we're just passing through. And God will look after us and intervenes on our behalf. You know, if there's one event that I eagerly look forward to, and that is the catching up of God's people in the rapture. Anybody else feel that same way? Now, I must say, I can hardly wait for that sudden and that impetuous seizure of spiritual ecstasy. I got that pretty well down. As the Lord takes us up to meet the Lord in the clouds. However, as I began to ponder and consider the rapture and being taken up to meet the Lord in the air, I couldn't help but feel a little bit selfish and a little bit self-absorbed. As I was not considering those who had not yet heard the gospel message. Or those that had backslidden, but perhaps would return to the Lord if there was someone to help them. So now I am eagerly looking forward to the Lord's return. Amen. I'm eagerly looking forward to that swift, impetuous seizure of spiritual ecstasy when we're whooshed up in the old sky there in the clouds. But at the same time, I'm really believing for people to come to the Lord. I'm really believing for souls to be saved. When Joel, is that right there, Joel? When you stood up the other Friday night, that touched my heart. You know, you and one other guy stood out to me the whole service. God has good things for you, Joel. Just keep on keeping on. And this morning with that young girl, Jeanette, yeah. That's what I said.
No,
I said.
It's the accent, right?
Yeah. Well, the fact I even remember those two names is a miracle, let me tell you. I usually just give people new names on a regular basis. But that made this whole trip worthwhile, just that. And I'm believing that their lives will be impacted, changed for the better. And Joel, God's going to use you. And there was a guy sitting up here this morning. I don't know his name. But God, that guy's, God's got his hand on that man's life. Dan? Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to the rapture, but I at the same time, as I'm getting more and more excited about that, I'm feeling more and more impassioned to share my faith with others. Not to impose upon people, not to just go out there without any wisdom. Because he that wins souls is wise, aren't they? I mean, look, I can't explain this. My wife will tell you, I can meet somebody and within 5 to 10 minutes be praying the sinner's prayer with them. Now, I don't know how that happens. Christy, am I exaggerating? What'd you say? Yeah. Yeah, I go to take the garment. She worries about me, you know, make sure I'm okay. I then come back and say, wait, what happened? I said, well, I bumped into the lady across the road and I prayed with her to get saved. I mean, you know, it just, that's what God wants. That's how it's become natural to me. I mean, the garbage man, I come by and he'll end up getting saved, or someone's delivering food. I can't help it. And I don't really care, you know, I'm glad. People are backslidden. I bump into them. I'm on phone calls all the time. My wife would tell you, you know, who is it? T-Mobile or Xfinity or whoever, all these people. You know, there's always something going on. Dear God, and they put you online for, you know, hold for 3 hours and 45 minutes and then hang up on you. But the people I've led to the Lord, the people the Lord's given me a word for, it's incredible. Help their lives. Philippines, India, and just crazy. And my wife said, a lot of these people just break down and start crying. And I don't, hallelujah. God can do anything. He really can. He has a plan for us. Now, you guys, we're all different. We all operate a little bit differently, thank God. But if we just be open to do what the Lord wants us to do, you may not be able to function like I do. But you can still function. See, there are two powerful words. I keep forgetting I have an English accent, you know. Come think about it. But anyway, there are two powerful words that are found in the Bible. And those two words are these: but God. They are big words, you know. But God. These two words are powerful because they can change any adverse circumstance, any undesirable difficulty, or any unpleasant situation, no matter how bad or hopeless they may seem, and then change them into something good, something positive, and something victorious. I think it was last week God was speaking to me, but God, but God, but God, but God. And I thought, wow. He began to speak to me how things happen. And it looks bleak and it looks bad and it looks scary. But then God steps in and everything changes. In fact, as I finished doing this sermon, I believe, President Trump was diagnosed with COVID-19. And all these guys are saying, he's going to be dead, this wicked man. Let me just say something about President Trump. I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. I don't care if you're the Mickey Mouse Club guy. You know, I don't care. But this I do know. That when a man is against abortion and he's for Israel, that you need to pay attention. Because the Word of God tells us what? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. this is the only president we've had who stepped out to look after Israel. In his first, not even 4 years, he's done more for Israel than all the other presidents put together. Amen. And when we have Christians who say, oh, I hate that man. What is wrong with you? You are going to stand with a bunch of folks who are Marxist, who want to overthrow this nation that was founded and established upon the Word of God? Did you know that, I think it was around 1496, I can't remember for sure, but the Queen of Spain and the King of Spain started a persecution against the Jews, putting them to death. And some of them fled, and there were 3 Jewish businessmen. And they went to Italy, and they looked for the sea captain called Christopher Columbus. And did you know that Christopher Columbus was a Jew? And that they financed him to the tune, modern day, of around $13 to $15 million to find a safe haven for the Jews? That when Christopher Columbus sailed them out the ocean blue in 1496, so I guess it would have been a bit earlier than 1496, 1486 maybe, who knows? What do you do? Well, yeah, it all works out. Yeah. But when he sailed the ocean blue in 1492, it was to find a safe haven for the Jewish people, and he found it. And then in the 1600s with the Mayflower, I don't know if you know this, but the Jews had to leave Spain, and they went all over the world, and some of them went to Holland, to the Netherlands. And they settled there. And there were some Christians in England that were being persecuted, the Pilgrims. And so they had to leave England, and they went to Holland, to the Netherlands, and they settled in the same area as the Jewish people and learned a lot about the Jewish culture. And then they decided that they too needed to go to America. So they came to the United States and landed on Plymouth Rock. And they helped establish religious freedom. So America was established not only as a safe haven for the Jews, but a safe haven for the Christians. And for the last several hundred years, what has happened? 200 and how long has it been? 50 years or something? I don't know. Yeah, I haven't. You'll have to work it out. It's been some time. Amen. That's what America's been. And Christians flocked here. It was a place that they could worship God. Jewish people flocked here. It was a place that they could live and worship God. I think there was 5 million plus Jews in America. Maybe more. I don't know. And everybody wanted to come to America. You just think about it. I'm an immigrant. Someone said, well, you're wearing this here mask. It's an American flag. You should have an English Union Jack on there. I said, no, why would I do that? I'm an American now.
Smart man.
Yeah. I'm an American. My wife's from the Philippines, but she's an American. Her sister and some of her family members came over here. They're now Americans. That's what America's like. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful for that. And there's people all over the world. You don't see them going anywhere else, do you? Maybe Israel now, but nowhere else, just the Jews. Everyone wants to come to America. Why? Because of the freedoms and the opportunities. But now we're at a crossroads. Marxism was established by Karl Marx, who was a satanic high priest. BLM, I think I mentioned this morning. They're Marxists. The 3 people who established BLM are Marxists, and at least one of them, if not all of them, were involved with the occult. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God in this country than I would have the devil. Amen. Time's getting close to the end. Because we know that evil is waxing and getting worse, and we know that eventually, and I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, all nations will be against Israel and called as well as the United States. But God says he's going to do something. Donald Trump comes down with COVID-19. People saying, yeah, die. I couldn't believe this. I never heard this from anyone in Congress. We hope he dies. Or that ridiculous woman, Hollywood girl, holds his head up like she's cut his head off. They're going to throw that girl in jail. No wonder the cinemas have been shut down. And Hollywood's in trouble. Thank God. And so after they get done with all the raving going on, and he's, we're going to have to replace, just change the Amendment 25 so we can get rid of this president. What wickedness. I'm telling you, we got to do this now. No, you don't. Maybe you need to go. I feel like grabbing her finger sometimes and just breaking it. Yeah. Pray for me. Feelings come up every now and then, you know. I since I've been in America, this has all happened. It never happened before. God, no. Yeah, God saved the queen is right. She needs to get saved, that girl. Now, where was I? See what you've done now, Matt? So what happens? 7 days after Donald Trump comes down with COVID-19, he's recovered. No, it's a lie! It's a lie! Oh, really? He looks pretty healthy to me. In fact, I think God stepped in, but God stepped in and gave him a rest. And turned everything around. But that's the kind of God that we serve. He cares about us. He cares about this nation. He cares about you and me. He cares about the Jewish people. And the devil may have one plan and the world have a plan, but God has a plan as well. And his plan is greater. See, things in the world now appear to be getting increasingly evil. Now, there's a theme. I just realized this, gone through this week. And I didn't realize all this until tonight so much. But anyway, the world's getting increasingly evil, more perilous, and certainly more lawless with the passing of each and every day. But God has a plan to use these events for good and to bring about the salvation of many in these last days. How many people believe that God wants folks saved? How many people delight in the fact that we can work with God? We're his laborers. So when we're working to see people saved, and I want to just say this, thank God for all you girls and you folks who pray and have prayed for these services, because you can feel it. Especially you, ma'am. I appreciate you praying and your husband for his prophetic word, because two of those, the things you share with me have been for me. I take that and I appreciate it. And I'm glad you spoke out. God has a plan to use these events for good and to bring about the salvation of many in these days. There are two events that need to happen before the tribulation period. One is the last day awakening, with many surrendering their lives to the Messiah and then turning to follow him in obedience to the word. And the other is the return of the Jewish people to Israel. Recently, I heard a news report that our nation is becoming increasingly more anti-Christian and more anti-Jewish. Consequently, many Jewish people are now leaving the USA in increased numbers and are moving to Israel. The Lord will soon be taking all true Bible-believing, born-again believers up into the clouds to meet the Messiah. They're going to Jerusalem, to the physical Jerusalem. We're going to the spiritual one. God brought us here for a safe haven. He had a plan and a purpose. But now we're going into phase two. Now, does the enemy fight against the purposes of God? Absolutely. Does he hate the things of God? Take a look at Washington, D.C. Yes, he does. Does he defeat the powers of hell and darkness? Absolutely. And we need to be praying for our president. We need to be praying for his family, praying for his administration, praying for this nation, and praying one for another. And praying and believing for the lost. If you have loved ones, believe God for them now. You see, because soon, and very soon, the Lord will be taking all true Bible-believing, born-again believers up into the clouds to meet the Messiah. Therefore, I believe that those things that are currently taking place is a good thing because God has a plan to open the eyes of the American people and to bring them closer to Himself and closer to salvation. This involves God using each of us to minister to the lost. And I believe the Holy Spirit is now bringing us into contact with various individuals so we can minister to them as well as share the gospel with them. Nothing is by coincidence. Nothing is by coincidence anymore, because God has a plan to bring in the final harvest, and there seems to be an urgency to do so. Can you say amen? How many of you believe you can feel this urgency? So I want to speak on tonight, but God says. What does God say? Well, we're going to find out. Let's take a look at our text, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. In fact, let me have a drink of water real quick if you don't mind. Isn't that nice? You can read along. Isn't that lovely? Verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath or condemnation through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Lord Jesus, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds this night. Holy Spirit, come, have Your way. Lord, we plead Your blood again this night over everyone's ears, over this meeting, over this gathering together of your people. We bind the powers of hell and darkness. We command them to be still and to be silent. Lord, we release the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask that You anoint our ears with Your Holy Spirit, with the oil of Your Spirit, that we will hear the Word of God, and that Word will accomplish Your purposes within us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. But God demonstrates His love to us. Can you imagine all the trouble that the devil went to tempt Adam and Eve and then to destroy humanity? And then God sends His Son. God stepped in and everything changed. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are, how much you have failed, what problems you have, what trials you are facing, how helpless you feel, how rejected you feel, or how worthless you feel. Anybody ever felt worthless? Amen. Because God will accept you and give you a new life if you'll just turn to Him on His terms. And I declare to you today that He will turn your night into day, your hopelessness into hope, and free you from all your addictions and all your despair. He will set you free and give your life meaning with direction, providing that you surrender your life to Him and put your trust in Him. God can always bring good out of bad, providing we believe and put our trust in Him. God always has the final word because He rules over all and overrules all. He rules over all, and he overrules all. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved. No longer everlasting death, now we have everlasting life. No longer in everlasting darkness, but now in everlasting light. No longer in everlasting hatred and torment, but now in everlasting life, and peace, and joy. I'd rather have that, wouldn't you? There is nothing you can do to make God angry at you, because he took all of his wrath, all of his anger, and he put it on his only begotten Son, whom he sent into the world to pay the price of our sin. Is God angry with sin? Absolutely. Does God judge sin? Absolutely. But Jesus came and he took the judgment of our sin, the anger of God. He took it for us so we wouldn't have to endure it. He loved you and I so much that the Son of God was willing to take the punishment of your sin upon him and to die for you in your place. Now that really does change everything. And it gives you a fresh new start in life and a clean, sin-free slate. Isn't that great? You know, you get contaminated with germs and viruses and you can spray it with stuff and it kills all the viruses. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. That's what I know. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So are we going to believe what the enemy speaks to us, or our mind speaks to us, or our carnal nature says? Or are we going to believe what God says? God says, all things be made new. God says, you're healed. God says, you're victorious. God says, you're a new creation. God says, you're an overcomer. But I don't feel like it. You can't live by your feelings, can you? You can't live by your feelings. I know, I've tried. It doesn't work. Amen. There are some great examples in the Old and New Testament that really does illustrate how God can intervene and change a person's life, and even a family's life, from one adversity and difficulty to blessing and something good and positive. Can you believe President Trump is healed from this COVID thing in 7 days and now has opened the doors for treatment to everyone else? What do they say? There's 216,000 or more people who died from COVID. No, that's a lie. The new facts, which no one's hardly saying, is there was probably about 9,000. Well, that's too many, but that's pretty much like flu season. The enemy has a plan, but God has a plan. And his works. Amen. In Acts 7, verse 9, it says, these patriarchs were jealous of their brother Joseph, and so they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. So what happened with old Joseph? He saw these people, his brothers, bow down to him. He said he saw these wheat and they all bowed down to him, and they got upset about it. Well, he's, you know, who the heck does he think he is? They were jealous of their brother Joseph. And they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. Well, that's pretty bad. But God was with him. But God was with him. God didn't stop him from being sold as a slave. He allowed it, but he was with him. The same way he's with you. God doesn't stop you from going through hardship and difficulty and setback and all this other nonsense we go through. But God is with us. And that's the difference. But God was with him and rescued him from all of his troubles. And God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom so that what happened? Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. Well, that's pretty amazing. From going to the place he was at to the place he's at now. Can you say amen? See, this portion of scripture is speaking about Joseph and how his brothers became so jealous of him that they sold him into slavery in Egypt. What hateful and disgusting behavior that they showed Joseph. Much like they're showing our president and God's people and the Jewish people as well. They were going to leave him to die, but decided to sell him into slavery because their hearts were filled and possessed with a jealousy, an evil jealousy towards him. Can you imagine, for one moment, can you imagine how Joseph felt after being sold as a slave and the feelings of betrayal and rejection that he had to deal with? Could you imagine that? Thrown in a hole to die. Then sold as a slave by his family, by the ones he loved. Everything seemed lost and over for him. But God was with him and rescued him, the Bible says, from all of his troubles and restored him. Not only that, but God gave him unusual wisdom. And as a result, Pharaoh promoted him to be the governor over all Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. He became one of the most powerful folks in Egypt, next to Pharaoh. Now, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 17. Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin. For they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. A fulfillment of the dream that he had. And they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That tells me something about Joseph. He felt all the things that you and I felt. But he reached a place where he overcame that hatred, that rejection, that feeling of betrayal. And instead turned it to be a blessing to his brothers. Some folks would be in that position. They say, there you go. So you're going to starve to death now and I'm going to watch you die. With pleasure. And they think that's righteousness. No, it's not. Well, we really prayed, and I've really prayed for you. Prayed to who and prayed for what? After previously treating Joseph so disgracefully bad, his brothers come to Joseph to help him without knowing that he was their brother. And Joseph revealed his identity to them. And they are immediately filled with fear because Joseph is now the most powerful man in the world next to Pharaoh. His brothers then come and beg him for forgiveness. And Joseph responds to them with love and with grace and tells them not to be afraid because what they planned for evil, God was going to use for good in order to save many people. See, God's on your side. There are things that are being done. But God's with you, and he's going to turn things around so you can show grace to others. Amen. So you can forgive others. So you can encourage others. In Psalm 73, verse 26, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. It's two different things. We said this morning that joy is a decision. Or last night or whenever it was. Joy is a decision that we make. There's decisions that we make. And we understand that God remains the strength of our heart because we have decided that He is the strength of our heart. That His word is true. That His promises are true. That He doesn't forget about us. He doesn't work things out the way we think He should. But He works things out for our good. You see, no matter what we go through, and no matter what we experience, if we are living for God, then He will strengthen us. And He will help us. Every obstacle and every problem will become a blessing. So we can be a light and a blessing to others who find themselves in a similar place. If God can show us His grace, then perhaps we need to learn how to show His grace through us to others. That's going to bring change. Romans chapter 2 verse 8. But He will pour out His anger and wrath on those who live for themselves. Those who refuse to obey the truth and instead live lives of wickedness. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil. For the Jew first and also for the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good. For the Jew first and also for the Gentile, because God doesn't show favoritism. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good. How many people have decided to do good to the best you can do it? Or you want to raise your hand right now. Because if you haven't, I'm worried about you. See, God hasn't appointed us for wrath. But rather, He has appointed us for glory and for honor and for peace. And what a great blessing and a great future we have. But we cannot be selfish with our faith and forget about those that are unsaved and lost and empty and headed for a devil's hell. We can't forget about them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. And I might add, for all eternity. Our time here is limited. It really is limited. And though America has been an avid supporter of Israel, I shared this in the beginning, the Bible tells us that that a time has come when all nations will be gathered together against Him, which tells me there's going to be some changes in the future in America. And it happens because we're gone. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, in the One New Man Bible. Who I was talking to someone about. Oh, Bruce. And in that day, I shall make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. All who burden themselves with it will be severely injured, though all the peoples of the earth are gathered together against it. How many peoples? All peoples, all nations will be against it. We're still here. We're for Israel. But when we're taken out, that's it. Tribulation begins. Someone said, will people get saved during the tribulation? Yeah. But they're going to be beheaded. We preliminate mainly the Jewish people who will be proclaiming the gospel message worldwide. There'll be people who get saved. But I'd rather get saved and live for God now. Because we aren't appointed for wrath. We're not appointed for that condemnation and that judgment of God, because Christ died for us that we can rather be taken up to the Bema, to the Bema seat of Christ, to the judgment seat of Christ. For what reason? We learned this morning, to be rewarded. So while we're having a Holy Ghost time up in heaven, getting rewards, on earth, it's a different story. Ooh, I got goosebumps all over. I don't know if the temperature dropped or it was just the Holy Ghost. Well, maybe it was the Holy Ghost. Time is short. Joel, you keep on living for Jesus. I'm going to be asking about you. That's for sure. Bruce, you keep on keeping on. You've got a great inheritance. Now I feel like I've got to say something to everybody. And the rest of you, keep on! You know, you're some of the nicest. I enjoy coming here. You guys have been so welcoming and so loving and so kind. It's just a delight to my wife and I to be here. And we really appreciated the invitation, by the way, Keith, in case I forget to say anything later. What a great God we serve. And thank God for the lady at the back there who says you're an evangelist, right? Some kind of evangelist. You just get soul saved. Amen. You just keep on getting people saved and born into the kingdom. God uses all of us in different ways. Your methods may not be mine, but they shouldn't be. They should be yours. Now, where the heck was I talking? Where am I? Does anybody know? Oh, Zechariah chapter 12. Thank God. So I write all this stuff out in the week. I do a lot of research. I write it all out because a lot of people want... Anyway, we won't go there. But it also helps because I forget what I'm doing sometimes. So, Zechariah... Did I read chapter 12? I've read that already? Oh. Oh, that's right. I remember. Also remember... And note that these are unusual times, unusual days, but the Lord has chosen each of us to stand and to be a light to the lost. We're a light on a hill that shines out in the darkness. Do you know what darkness is? It's the absence of light. Who said that? Yeah, back there too. Yeah, the absence of light. What a horrible place to be, the absence of light. Well, I'm going to close with Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 in the New Living Translation. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Me? No, you don't mean me. You mean, no, you. You're part of that light. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in that house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Can you say amen? I had an experience some time ago. My wife and I were at a shopping mall. And we were leaving, and there's two lines of traffic going this way. And then you turn, you make a left, and you come to a traffic light, and you know, some of the lanes go left, some go straight, whatever. You with me? So we're going along, and this lady turned to the left, and I turned to the left as well, into the middle lane. Well, she got really angry because she thought I shouldn't have turned left, but actually there were arrows there for both lanes to turn left. And so she rolled down her window and so I rolled down my window. My son was sitting in the back seat listening, watching. He said, oh, she's going to get it now. He's ready, you know. And so I rolled my window down, and I pulled up next to her, and I said, you know, the light had turned red. And I said, you know what? I don't know if you're right or wrong, but I just want to apologize if I made you feel like, you know, you were, that, that you're in danger or anything else. We just appreciate you and we want you to have a good day. And so please forgive us if we feel that you wronged us. My son. But Dad, aren't you going to throw something at him? But I just blessed her. And she just looked at me and was, she didn't know what to say. Oh, she says, okay, I'm sorry. And left. But that was a great lesson for my son in grace that he has never forgotten to this day. Actually, that was quite a few years ago, weren't it, Christy? What do you reckon, about 10 years ago? More? Anyhow, time goes by quick. Pardon me? Bless those that curse you. Love those that hate you. Remember, the children of God, they come to the Red Sea. Now, can you imagine what's going through their heads here? The army's now, Pharaoh's behind them, and he wants to kill them with their army. And they're going along and goes, it's going to be okay. Now they come to the Red Sea. The army's behind them, and the Red Sea's before them. It's over. But God had a plan. And what happened? Well, we know they walked across the Red Sea, dry ground, and Pharaoh and his whole army were drowned. If God before you, who can be against you? Look, these are examples for you and for me to encourage us, especially in these days that are evil. He's for you. He's going to help you. He has a plan for you. He can change things around for you. It may look hopeless. It may look difficult. But God can do anything. Now, he never does everything the same way. But he has a plan. Children of God enter into Canaan. And there's Jericho there, this formidable city. And God says, walk around it 7 times. What are you saying? Walk around the blooming city. Are you out of your mind? What are we doing walking around it? So they walked around it 7 days. Once a day for 7 days. And on the 7th day, they walked around it 7 times. He said, can you imagine what some of those soldiers were feeling?
I wonder what they're thinking. I don't know, but I don't know what I'd be thinking. What a bunch of morons down there. You know, hey, what are they going to throw?
Well, they didn't know, as fear had set in to the people in Jericho. But maybe fear, maybe faith began to rise up in them. Finally, maybe God says, okay, now. They praise God and they worship God, and what happens? The walls fell down. All except for one little bit of wall. And what little bit of wall was that? Rahab, who helped them. God before you, who can be against you? I hope you're feeling this. Because God loves you and he's interested in you and he has good things for you. You matter. You matter. You're strategic. So every head bowed, every eye closed in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you right now. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. Your kindness is so great. Your love to us is so great. Help us to begin to at least have a greater understanding of it. Open our eyes so we can see beyond our carnal understanding. Open our eyes, we're entering into your arena. That we can have that joy that the Jewish people have on the Feast of Tabernacles. That we'll give you thanks and praise every day of our life. In the times of the day, that we'll give you thanksgiving and praise. Knowing that you have a plan. Lord, and get us ready for your soon return. We're looking forward to it, but God, if there's somebody else that can be saved, if there's somebody else that you can use us to bring back to the Lord before that trump is blown, then Lord, use us and help us to step out by faith and to share with those people in love. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, you don't know if you're going to heaven or not. If you were to die tonight, you do not know if you're going to heaven. But you want to know. If you want to have that assurance of eternal life, or if you're not right with God, maybe you walked with the Lord at one time, but you've kind of slid away just one step at a time, but all of a sudden you find yourself away from God, I want to give you an opportunity to come back to Him. If you don't know Jesus, your Savior, you're not right with God, and you want to get right, hold your hand up real quick. Hold your hand above your head and say, Pastor Chris, pray for me. One last time as I look around, just slip your hand very quickly. Anyone at all? All right. Now, if you're a believer, I don't know if the Lord spoke to you directly or indirectly tonight or not, but if He did, hold your hand up and say, Lord, thank you. Seal these things to my heart. Seal these things to my life. Make an order right where you're sitting between you and the Lord. Lord, seal these things to me in Jesus' name. Seal them. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. Oh, God, touch this congregation. Use this congregation. Let them be a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
If you're here tonight and you brought somebody who's not saved, you invite them to come up and speak to me or Pastor Keith or whatever. We'll pray with them. We'll be glad to pray with them. But I've just enjoyed this time.